Begin the current daf, Masechet Bavas, daf Gimel. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf and takes an opposite approach from the previous Gemara's assumption. The Gemara had explained on the previous daf regarding the opening halacha of our Masechta, Hashritaf and Shiratz last Mechitz Beinayim, regarding partners that want to make a Mechitz between the two of them. So the Gemara assumed and concluded according to that first version that Mechitz means a Guda, means a wall, meaning regarding partners that are subdividing their shared courtyard, if they want to make a wall, then they make a wall between them, and then there are certain requirements based on the custom of that country how to make that wall. But that sounds like only if they wanted to. If they don't want to, then although they're dividing, then neither partner could force the other one to make a wall, because the Gemara concluded that Hezek Ria, Loish Me Hezek, obviously because the damage caused by one partner viewing what the other guy is now doing in his now private area in the courtyard is not considered damage. Now, on that, the Gemara now says, Lishnach Rin Amrila. There's a different version where the opposite of what the Gemara's discussion was, that actually, Savru, they thought that my Mechitza, what does the Mishnah mean when it says the partners that wanted to make a Mechitza b'neim, then they build a wall between the two of them? It means Plukta. They wanted to make a division. Dechsiv, was we find that the word Mechitza could also mean a division, as the Pasuk B'Midbar says, Bati Machtza Se'eda, that half of the population that they had taken from the war that the Jews had fought, it was at such and such. But we see that although the word machtze is used, it doesn't mean that a mechitza, it could also mean half, a division. So based on that interpretation, says the Gemara, so what the Mishnah now interprets is, so hashutof and hashratz las mechitza b'neim. So the partners that wanted to make a division between the two of them, now, so what the Mishnah is saying is that, in other words, v'kim deratzu, that since they wanted to divide, which the Gemara later is going to ask, who cares that they wanted to, even if they didn't want to, one partner could force the other one to subdivide the courtyard. Why do you need the wanting part? But that's how we're going to read the Mishnah, is that since they wanted to divide it, then b'inyan esakaisel. Then that's what the Mishnah continues. Hashutaf and Shras last mechitzmanim, that they wanted to, the way we're interpreting it, is that they wanted to divide the courtyard. Then they have to build a wall of bricks, balkarchan, against their will. Meaning, even if one partner doesn't want to, but if they're dividing, then they have to make a wall out of bricks. Alma hezek riyashme hezek. So this version says, so if we're interpreting as Hashutaf and Shratz Las Mechitza means that they wanted to divide, then you have to make a wall. Obviously, because if you're dividing, now each one hits his private area. If the other one's going to be able to see, that's going to cause damage, and therefore there is a requirement now to make a wall, which is the inverse of how the Gemara in the previous daf had said, based on that interpretation, that the Mechitza was a wall. It's only if they want to. If they don't want to, they don't have to, because Hezek Riyah is Loish Mehezek. Now, in this interpretation, the Gemara says, Eima my Mechitza, why? Maybe learn in the Mishnah that what does it mean that the partners wanted to make a mechitza? It means a guda, means they wanted to make a wall made out of bricks. In other words, and we're talking about a courtyard that has enough area to be divided, and therefore they could force each other to divide. And it's just saying that regarding this division that they're making, if they want to go ahead and make a wall, the Tanya, like we learn in the Brice, is the Girsa, that we find that the word mechitza could refer to a real wall. Because the Braisa says, Mechitza Sakem Shenifrit, so regarding the wall of a vineyard that gets breached, because they could plant right up to a wall, even though there's a vineyard right next to a grain field, where generally they have to have a distance of 4 amas, so it shouldn't be climbed. If there's a wall, then they'll let a plant right up to the next part. Now, on that, the Braisa is discussing, if let's say the vineyard's field, his wall got breached. So the owner of the grain field tells him, you got to go ahead and close up the wall, or else my grain is going to turn into climb. Nifrit so legodr, then again there's a breach. And again he tells him, you gotta close up your hole. And the siyai shemen legodr, and then the owner of the vineyard gives up hope and he doesn't close up, doesn't fix the wall anymore. So I raise a kiddush. Once it grows a certain amount into the grain field where it's nourishing now from the vineyard, it's turning, if it's an amount of 1/200th, that it's not gonna be bottle anymore in 200, then it's climb. And the chai bachri yusa, and the owner of the vineyard's liable now for the damage that was done to the other person's grain. That's what the Braisa says. So therefore you see that although the halacha is required with a wall, that the word mechitza could refer to a wall. Now, based on that interpretation, the Gemara is asking, so we could say that no. V'taima deratzu, that now the interpretation would be that the partners that wanted to make a mechitza, meaning wanted to make a wall, meaning that they had stipulated that they're going to divide with a wall made out of bricks, that's when the halacha is. So now they got to make a wall made out of bricks. But halay ratzu, but if they did not want, then we do not force the other partner to make a wall made out of bricks. Rather, you can make it with just pegs. Because, yeah, they're dividing the field where one partner could force the other one to divide. Because there's 8 amas in sum total. Each one will get dalet amas. But it's only to divide with pegs. But with a wall, it's only if they want to. So Alma, so to the contrary, says the Gemara, you can see from our Mishnah that Hezek re-allows Shmei Hezek. That damage with just visual is not going to be considered damage. Because we could interpret that the word mechitza means a wall. And it's only if they want it. But if they didn't want it, they didn't have to make it. Now that the Gemara says no. Ihachi, if the interpretation of the word mechitza would mean a wall in our Mishnah, then why does the Mishnah then go on and continue and say, okay, so then b'inyan esakai, so they build the wall. B'inyan esai mi b'ilei. Then it should say they built it, because you're saying the word mechitza already means the wall. So you don't say, oh, if they want to make a wall, then they build the wall. No, then they built it. And the fact that it says esakai, obviously because the word mechitza means to say that they want to divide. If they want to divide, then by default, then they have to build a wall, because hezek ishmei hezek. So the Gemara asks, well, elamai, so what are you saying? Plukta. That the word that they want to make a mechitza, a division, means splitting it, not a wall. On that, ihach, but then the question, you could have the same type of question on your interpretation. Sharotu lasis mechitza, then how do you read the words of the Mishnah? The partners that wanted to make a mechitza? Sharotu lachsis mebailin. It's an act, it's a verb, that they wanted to divide. Why say that they wanted to make a mechitza? Making a mechitza sounds like there's an object there. It would make sense if you say it's a wall, but you're saying that it's they wanted to divide. So why say sharotu lasis mechitza, it should be sharotu lachsis? That's what it says the Gemara. That's not difficult. That's like people say, let's go make a division. So although it's not an actual object, but people when they're doing a verb of dividing, they say, let's make a division. So that's not difficult. So in contrast to the previous daf, which liked the answer that it's a wall, this Gemara likes the other way around, likes it better if you're saying that it's talking about a division. Now, but that asks the Gemara, but v'i hezik riyah shmei hezik. Now, if you're coming out according to this version from the halacha of a Mishnah, that the damage that comes through vision is considered halachic damage, and therefore they want to divide, and therefore each one's going to be doing private stuff in their own courtyard, then you're going to have to make a wall even if he doesn't want to. So then, my ir yuratu, then why does the Mishnah say, oh, if they want to make a wall, then they have to make a wall? Afelay ratu nami, even if they don't want to, then you still have to go ahead and make the wall. So what's the Mishnah saying that, oh, if they want to go ahead and lasis mechitza, which even if we're saying lasis mechitza means to say that they want to divide, but why do you need to want to? One partner could force the other one to divide, and once he could force them to divide, then they have to make a wall. So that says the Gemara, Amr Basar, Rabbi Yechon, the Mishnah is saying, Nukesha Eimba Din Chaluka. Our Mishnah is talking about when there actually is no halacha of that you could require the other partner of the courtyard to divide. Because if there's only 8 amas, you don't have to divide. It's only when you have more than that, which each one's going to have dalet amas themselves. But, v'hudiratzu, that's what the Mishnah is saying. But since they want to, and he's acquiescing to divide, oh, now that you're dividing, now we force you to make a wall, because now there's going to be hezek riyah. But he has to want to, because if not, one partner could actually not make the other one divide if there's not that much room in the courtyard. Now that is the Gemara, but then my kamash malon. Then what is the chiddush of our Mishnah? Dechiles beidin chaluka. So what our Mishnah is saying, according to your interpretation, that, oh, when there is not enough to have to force the other one to divide, kiratsu palgi, but when they want to, oh, then they have to divide, and then they have to go ahead and put up a wall. But Tanina, we learned this in the Mishnah, Daf Yud Aleph and Aleph explicitly. Mishnah says, Emasai, when did we say that if there's, let's say, less than 8 amas, that they don't divide? That's bisman she'inch neim reitzim. That's only when you don't have both of them agreeing and wanting that. Abisman she'inch neim reitzim, but when they both want to, afilapachiz mikan chalkin, even less than that, they do divide. So we see already the halach of ratzu, that if they want to, even less than the share of chalukah, that they could go ahead and divide, and then ultimately put up a wall. So what's the chiddush of a Mishnah more than the Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph? So says the Gemara, no, imi hasam, if from there, havamina afilapachiz mikan, I would have only known, let's say, the first half of the halacha. I would have thought to say that, yes, even less than 8 amis, they could agree to split it if they want to, but that splitting would be b'mesipas ba'alma. That would be with just pegs. So that's the chiddush, that's the second half of the halach of our Mishnah, that's the chiddush of, but now that they're agreeing, yes, they could go ahead and now divide it, but you got to go ahead and put up a wall. Can't just divide it. Because, as we're saying, hezek riyah, shmei hezek, that's something that the Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph doesn't say. So the Gemara asks, then melis nehav, lelis nehach. Then let's say only our Mishnah, not the Mishnah on Yiraf, because our Mishnah is incorporating both halachas. It's incorporating A, that they could divide it even though there's no Sheikh Halukah. And moreover, once you do, you have to put up a wall. which is more than just the Mishnah Yiraf, which only says the first half. Says the Gemara, you're right. But Sefer Yitzchukhalei, the end of that Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph was necessary to say a contrast, and therefore they had the Reisha, so too, to say the Sefer. Because the Mishnah there says, but the Kisvei HaKadosh, but regarding holy writings, let's say a Sefer Torah, which is written in one scroll, or Nevi'im and Ksuvim, which are also written in the scroll like a Sefer Torah, that it's coming to say that Ava Pishashneim writes them that there, even if they both do want when they want to divide it, that Lo Yech Loiku, it's not appropriate, you don't take a Sefer Torah and split it in half between the two partners. So Agav that, once we said that, that's what we said the ratio about the halacha, about that if they want to, they do divide, but in this case they won't. But you're right, that's the halacha that, according to this interpretation, is already said in our Mishnah, about that they wanted to, meaning that they wanted to divide it, even though it doesn't have a share of chalukah. Now, it's brought in parentheses over here that a Lashon Acher, a different version, which is, comes to the same conclusion as what the Gemara is saying over here, where some Gersos don't have that. And even those that do, as is brought from the Maharam, that the next two lines of Chirotsu, Mahava, Lahadrebe, Amar Vasim, Reichim, Mishakon, Miyad, Bechulu, that not to have that Gersa. So, but in this parentheses girsa, the Gemara asks a question. Now, instead of saying the halach of our Mishnah, that there doesn't have a Sheir Chalukah, it's not more than 8 Amos, and therefore you wouldn't be able to force the other partner to subdivide the courtyard. But the halach of our Mishnah is talking about when the both partners did agree to divide it, so then they could divide it, and then we said, okay, so then the halacha is that then he has to build a wall, because now there's going to be a hezekriya. And that has to get more. Why don't you just say a simpler case? Lashmi'inon b'yesh b'din chalukah. Talk about a case when there is more than 8 amas, when there is a requirement that one partner could force the other one to split the courtyard. And v'hafakav t'lai rotzu, then you could say it even if they didn't want to. Why say hashur tof in shirotzu las, because if they wanted to, because really he wouldn't have to, say that it is more than 8 amas. And if, even if he didn't want you, would have to, and then you would have to build a wall. Says the Gemara, Yash mi'ina b'yesh b'din chalukah. If we would talk about that type of a case when there would be a requirement of one partner to have to split if the other one wants to, and va'avakav de'lai ratzu, even if he doesn't want to, havamina, I would think to say that but she'im b'din chalukah, but that when there is not a shir chalukah, let's say when it's less than 8 amas, then afilo ratzu na miloy, then even if the other partner would agree and acquiesce to want to split it, that there we wouldn't say that he would have to put up a wall. Kamash Balan, that no, that even over there, even though they didn't have to split the field, but if he agrees to, and then they do it, then he has to put up a wall. Because you always have to have a wall, according to this version of the Gemara, because of Hezekriya. Now that the Gemara asked, Mi mitzasa amrit hachi, can you really just say what you said? V'katani seifa, we learned what's called the end of our Mishnah, which is the Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph, which qualifies this halacha and says, Eimasai, when did we say that if it doesn't have a shir chalukah, they don't divide it? That's bizman she'ein shneim reitzim. That's only if both of them don't want. A bizman she'ein reitzim mechalukah, but if they both want, then they divide it. Says the Gemara, my lava kaisel, isn't it talking about that it, this halacha, you can't say that you would have thought, because the Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph says clearly, but if they do want to, they do divide it, well, how are they dividing? Obviously, with a wall, you see that even when it's less than the shear, you still have to have a wall. Says the Gemara, lai, I would say then it would be toma amasipas be'alma, that when they do agree that then they go ahead and they divide it, it would be with just pegs, but it wouldn't mean that you would have to put up a wall. Now then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, then listen high, will listen high, then say only our Mishnah, that not that Mishnah, because our Mishnah is incorporating both halachas. Says the Gemara, you're right, but Sefer Etzachalei, that Mishnah was necessary for the Sefer, which was to be Kisvei HaKadosh, that in regards to holy writings, did their Ava Pishashneim Reitzim Lo Yachloku, that even if both parties do agree to split it, even though it's not something that usually is divided, that there, even if they want to, they cannot divide it, because that's not appropriate to do to something like a Sefer Torah. Nothing more continues this discussion from before this parentheses, asking a question on Ravasi. Ravasi has said, as the Gemara asks on him, "Bamai kimta lemasnin? How are you explaining the Mishnah where we had asked a question, why does it say Ratzu Lachlik if they want to divide? What I mean, even if they don't want to divide, you still have to go ahead and make walls because there's a sheer, the one partner can force the other partner to divide. So Ravasi had said, "B'she'im b'din chalukah," that our Mishnah is talking about when it doesn't have a share of 8 amas, let's say just 5 amas, where normally one partner would not be allowed to force the other partner, then therefore it has to be talking about that if they want to, then they're going to be dividing it, then you have to put up a wall. And that is the Gemara, but "B'she'im b'din chalukah," but then if there is no share of division, so "Kirotzu mayhava," then what does it help that, so they both wanted to? Who cares? Nahajibu, let him back out, let him retract. You're saying that, oh, you agreed. Oh, now you got to put up a wall. Wall? No, I'm not interested. No, too late. You already agreed to divide it. Now you have to put up a wall because this has a kriya. Why? Let him just back out. What does wanting do? So, Amar Rav Asi, Rabbi Yechon, he explains, no, shekonu miyadon. We're talking about that we acquired from them. There was a formal kinyan, an acquisition that was done to their acquiescence, to their agreement to this. Once the kinyan is done, then you can't back out anymore. So that the Gemara asks, why? What's the difference if we quote, did a kinyan, let's say we did a kinyan of chalipin, where one person does this token giving of an object to the other person, which formalizes the transaction, but kinyan devarim ba'almuhu, it's a transaction of just words. And that is, chalipin doesn't work with just verbal commitments. It's only for something that could be acquired, where let's say with a sale, or with a gift, or with some type of movable item, which has liability with karka. There you could create a kinyan on it, but here is just a verbal commitment to do something. What are you acquiring? And therefore, why should a kinyan help that he shouldn't be able to back out? So answers the Gemara, b'shekonu miyadim beruchas. No, it's not just words. He acquired from, there was the acquisition on both partners in regards to directions. In other words, they were splitting this courtyard. One person picked out the eastern part, the other one picked out the western part, and they did a kinyan on that. Oh, now there is a physical thing that's having an acquisition on it, where this guy's getting the eastern part and the other one has no rights to it. And this one gets the other part. There's an actual object, the land itself. Therefore, the Kenyan will not allow him to back out anymore. Vashyama, he says a different approach. Says, for example, if each partner, one of them goes into his part that now he's taken for his courtyard, and he takes possession of his portion. For example, let's say he plows in it a little bit, and because karka, land, can be acquired with chazaka, where after they agreed to go ahead and divide, now by doing an act of chazaka, of taking possession, by doing some type of work in the land, and the other one goes in his part and he takes possession, that's not just a verbal commitment anymore. There's something in the object here that the kinyan is taking effect on. Therefore, he wouldn't be able to back out anymore. And once they split it, then, because of, as this Gemara is saying, now you have to build a wall because of hezek ria, shmei hezek. So therefore, that concludes this part of the Gemara, which was discussing if Hezek Riyash may Hezek or not. That's according to two different interpretations of what does the Mishnah mean when it says Hashutaf and Shavat's last Mechitza. What does it mean Mechitza? Does it mean a wall? And therefore then, that's only if they want to, but if not, they wouldn't have to because Hezek Riyash may Hezek. Or does Mechitza mean they want to make a plukta, a division, and then once you want to divide, then you have to make a wall because now that it's separate, Hezek Riyash may Hezek. And therefore, not to cause that damage, both parties have to make that wall. Then the Mishnah continued, it says, okay, so regarding this halacha that they're going to make this wall, so makum shenogu livnis v'chulu, so it said all these other types of bricks, if the custom is to make like this, that's how you got to do it. According to those parameters, how much they usually do those walls. So the Gemara explains what are these different types of bricks we spoke about regarding the measurements that each one's going to have to do half of their shear of the wall. So gevil are avni deloy meshafian. This is going from greatest to lowest in the amount of the measurements. Gevil is 6. Tfachim and so on, they're all smaller one than the other. So gevil is avni de lemeshafia. They're bricks that were not planed. They're the rough bricks that have parts that jut out. That therefore they're the biggest width of the bricks. Therefore, if they're dividing the area of how much land they have to give, they both have to give 3 tfachim. Gazes, which is a total of 5 tfachim, and avni de meshafia are planed bricks where you smooth them out, you make it in these rectangles. The chsiv, like we find in the pasuk Melachim Aleph that says kol eila van mikars, these are all precious stones. Kimidas gazes, like the measurements of these plain bricks, where the gears that we have is vegeimer, but the other are the gears that have where the pasuk says megaris b'megair, where it's planed, we're smoothed out with a plane. Again, that we see that it's they're smoothed out, and therefore they're only going to be 5 tefachim. Kfisin, which are 4 tefachim, are archi. They're half of a levena, half of a brick, meaning a levena, as we'll see in a moment. A brick is 3 tefachim wide, and the ariach is a half a brick, is a tefach and a half. Now, so the thickness of the wall made out of ariach is you have an ariach on one side, meaning half a brick on one side, another half a brick on the other side, and you have a tefach in the middle where you put the clay, the cement, to connect it with the other half of the brick. So therefore, that's 1 half plus 1 half is 3 plus a tefach comes out to 4 tefachim. So each one has to give 2 tefachim. Then levenin is livni, is a complete brick, which is, the brick is the thickness of the wall, which is 3 tefachim, so therefore each one has to give 1 and a half tefachim. Now, on this, the Gemara asks, that Amalei Rabba Berei de Rav Ravashi, says, How do we know that the reason why the gvil were six tefachim, and each one different has to get three tefachim, and they're bigger than regular bricks by a tefach because they're not smoothed out. You still have the things that protrude and jut out, so that makes them wider, and therefore the space that you have to take up from each one's length to put the wall in the middle is a total of six tefachim. And because v'hai tefach yiseru l'murshu the karnas, and this extra tefach, more than, let's say, the plain bricks, is because of the edges of the bricks that stick out to the outside because they're not smoothed out, so you have to add a total of another tefach. But Dilma, maybe I could tell you that it's a different type of a brick. Maybe palga de gazesu, maybe gvil, that's six tefachim, instead of the gazes, which is five tefachim, actually, gvil is a half of a gazes brick. Now, the high tefach yiseris, and then what's the extra tefach that you have to conclude for those types of walls? Is leveni urvihu, is because between of the bricks, meaning when you're building this row of bricks up for the wall, that you have one half a brick on one side, another half on the other brick on the other side, you have the clay, the cement in the middle. Kidamrinan, kfisin archi, like we said, similar to regarding kfisin, which we said they are archi, they were half a bricks. And we said leveni and livni, we said bricks are whole bricks. And we said, why are the half of bricks, their thickness of the wall is a tefach more than the whole bricks? We said, because it's not just two halves of the bricks that we also use a tefach of cement in the middle, so maybe that's the same contrast between the gvil and the gazes. It's actually half of the gazes bricks with a tefach in the middle. That's why it makes it a tefach more. How do you know? It's because it sticks out. So Malaysa, he responded to me, says, wait a second. Utamech, according to your reasoning that you're asking these questions, kfisin archi minolin, how do we know that kfisin are half of bricks? El gemar gemayir la. It's because we have a tradition that's the interpretation of these types of bricks that our Mishnah mentions. Gvil nami avnid lemeshafi. Gemar gemayir la says the same thing. This that we know the gvil are the extra tefach more than gazes because they're not smoothed out and therefore they have this parts of the brick that juts out, that's also a tradition that we have. Ikudami, those that have that say it in the reverse. That Omele Ravacha Bereder of Avi Ravashi says, Mimhai Dahai Kfisin Archininu, from where do we know that these Kfisin, that they're a tefach total of width, the thickness of those walls, more than a full brick? It's because they're half a bricks. Vahai Tefach Yisrael Lebeinu Urvi, and the fact that it's a tefach more than the whole bricks is because you don't just use two half a bricks. You also use a tefach of cement in the middle. Dilma, my Kfisin, he says, maybe I'll tell you a different interpretation. What are Kfisin? They're Avni Dulem Eshafian. They're actually full bricks, whole bricks, that weren't smoothed out. And this extra tefach is for the juddings, the parts that jut out, that make it a tefach more on either side, meaning for a total of a tefach, gvil, like we interpreted, what are gvil? We said the avnid lemeshafin, the bricks that are not smoothed out. And gazes, avnid meshafin, and gazes are smoothed out bricks. And we said, why is gvil a tefach more than gazes? Because it's the parts of the brick that stick out. Maybe that's going to be the same thing with this kfisin and leveni. And that Amalei said to him, wait a second, tamech, according to your reasoning, that you're asking these questions, gvil that are avnid lemeshafi menolon, how do we know that gvil, that the reason why it's a tefach more, is because they're not smoothed out bricks? El gemar gemirla, rather it's because of the tradition that we have. Achanami gemar gemirla, he says this, that we also said that kfisin are half of bricks, and that's not because it juts out a total of a tefach more, is also a tradition that we have. Now, Om Abayi says, Shema Minot, what we infer from the discussion that we just said, is that kol beini urvi tefach, whenever you put between bricks to make them into a wall, that cement in the middle is going to be a tefach. And the halachic ramifications, obviously, if somebody accepts upon himself to build a wall for his friend, and he's using half of bricks, he's got to go ahead and put a tefach of cement in the middle. Now, it qualifies the Gemara, hanimi lebetinim, that's only if you're using mud as the cement. But if you're using they used pebbles with cement, with this mud, to connect the two halves of the wall, then by itray, then you actually need more because that doesn't stick as well as pure mud, as pure cement. Vegadami, they also say a different version that actually hanimila berichsa. This halach of requiring a tefach is only if you use that weaker cement, which is the mud with the pebbles. But if you use pure mud, then actually you don't even need that much. You don't even need a full tefach. Now, the Gemara asks, lememra, is that to say, based on the dimensions that we're speaking about in these halachas, that in the case of the begazes, regarding those bricks, which we said that it's going to be a sum total of five tefachim, the width of those walls, which we said the gazes are the smoothed out bricks, that the choldalat amis goiva, that for every height of four amis, that I have a pussy chamisha koi, that only if it's going to be a width of 5 tvachim, then the wall will stand. I loy loy koi, but that if not, it's not going to stand. Now, how do we know this? Because the Mishnah told us that regarding the wall of gazes, he said that each partner, each one of the courtyard who's splitting, each one has to give 2.5 tvachim. Now, the Seifa of our Mishnah, meaning the next Mishnah on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, said that this wall that they have to make has to be a height of 4 amas. Now, it comes out according to that calculation, if for 4 amas height, for this gazes type of brick, you need to have a width of 5 tvachim, that let's say it was a height of 8 amas, you need to have a width of 10 tvachim, which it would be double. And that has to get more, but for amatraxin, but you have the what's called the amatraxin, which was a wall that Shlomo HaMelech had made out of these gazes types of bricks, because as the pasuk says in Melachim Aleph, they were avni gazes. To have you gevoya tlos namasa, which it was 30 amas high, this wall, v'lahave pusyelishes pushri, and it was only 6 tfachim wide, it was only an ama in the width, and this was the wall that separated between the heichal and the kachay kadoshim, become, and yet it stood. But based on our calculations, if a 4 amas high, you need 5 tfachim wide, so that means 8 amas high, you need 10 tfachim wide. Yet here we have 30 amas high, and it's only 6 tfachim wide. So how does that match up? Says the Gemara, Kiven de'ika tefach yisera koi. Since it had that one extra tefach, it was able to stand. In other words, you're right. For 4 amas, you need to have 5 tefachim wide. But that doesn't mean proportionally that's always how it has to double and triple. No, even if you have just one tefach more than 5 tefachim, you make it 6 tefachim, then it could stand even up to a height of 30 amas. Now, the Gemara asks then, Ubimikdash Sheni, my time aloy of an amatraxin. Now why in the second base of Mikdash didn't they make this amatraxin, this wall of an amma thick in the second base of Mikdash? So says the Gemara, because kikoi bitlosin koi. When would a wall of 6 tfachim wide stand even though it's a very high wall? Only up to 30 amas. But tfei loy koi. But even though now it's that it's thicker, where we said it's not proportional exactly for 4 amas height, for 5 tvachim width to constantly be that proportion, 6 tvachim wide could hold even up to 30 amas, but more than that, it's not going to be able to stand, which it was that case in the second base of Mikdash. As the Gemara asked, Manolan have a gevoy tfei. How do we know that the second base of Mikdash, the height of that ceiling was taller than it was in the first base of Mikdash? Except like it says, the pasuk in Chagai. It says that godly yir kavod habayis hazeh ha'achrin min harishon. Greater will be the honor of this house, meaning the second base of Mikdash, than from the first one. So Rav and Shmuel, v'amrilan, some say it's Rabbi Yechim Rebelazah, that what's this interpretation that the second base of Mikdash is going to be godly, is going to be greater. Chadam bebinyan, one said in the building, in the height, because the height of the second base of Mikdash was 40 amas, as is taught in the Mishnah Masechet Megillah, in contrast to the first base of Mikdash, it was only 30 amas. When the other one says that actually, as we continue to Talmud Bay, is that Bishanim, it's greater in the amount of years. Because the first Beis HaMikdash stood for 410 years, and the second Beis HaMikdash stood for 420 years. And says the Gemara of Islaha, and actually they're both true, it was greater in both years and in height. So therefore, since it was taller, it was 40 amas, then the wall, which the amatraxin took up, could only take up that amount of dimensions, could not stand in such a high ceiling, which of 40 amas. So therefore, they didn't make the amatraxin, they didn't make a wall, they only made curtains. Now that the Gemara asked, but why? V'navdu tlosin amid bebinyan. Let them have made the wall a height of, you could only make 6 tvachim wide. Okay, so make it up to a height of 30 amas. And v'idach navid pereches, let the rest be a curtain. But at least keep at least what you could have the first base of Mikdash, which is a height of 30 amas. Says the Gemara, no. Ki koi tlosin amos anami, even this that in the first base of Mikdash, a wall that was only 6 tvachim wide was able to stand with a height of 30 amas, was only because Agav Tikru Maziva Havakoi was only able to stand because you had the upper story that was laying down and pressing down together with a layer of cement and plaster that was on top of it. That weight kept the wall positioned where it was, that it shouldn't lean in either direction. So therefore, in the second Beis HaMikdash, you couldn't have a wall that was 30 amas high, which Beloy Tikru Maziva Havakoi, it wouldn't be able to stand even though it's only 30 amas, if it wasn't going to have the support of the roof and the beams to keep it in place. So therefore, you couldn't do 30 amas of height of wall and then have another 10 amas of curtain. So the Gemara says, okay, so you couldn't make 30 amas high with a wall that's 6 tvachim wide if it didn't have the support of the rest of the building holding it in place. But v'la'avid ma'de'ef shebebin, but at least they could have done what is possible to do in a building structure, meaning for sure, if it's 6 tefachim wide, as we said, 4 amas high, it could manage. So whatever the height that it could manage, that they should have made out of building. And let them have made only the rest out of a curtain. Why'd they make the whole thing into a curtain? So the Gemara, Abaye, Gemir, we have a tradition, ikula bebinyan, ikula beperechis. No, it's either totally out of building or totally out of a curtain. As the Gemara explains, ikula bebinyan in mikdash. If it's totally out of a building, we learned that from the Beis HaMikdash, in the first Beis HaMikdash, which it was totally a wall. Ikula beperechis, or totally as a curtain, mimishkan, where it was totally out of a curtain that separated between the hechel and the kacha kacha. But to make a little bit of wall and the rest of a curtain, that the tradition is we don't do. Now the Gemara goes back to the halacha of our Mishnah Ibailu. They had the following question. Regarding these measurements of our Mishnah, regarding how thick the wall has to be based on the type of bricks that they would use, Hein Vesidon, is it talking about the walls together with the plaster that's put onto walls to keep them together? Ideal Mehein Belay Sidon. Or maybe it's actually just talking about the thickness of the place of the bricks themselves, besides for the plaster was put on. In other words, yes, technically speaking, you would be putting on plaster and the dimensions of the wall taking up from your part of the courtyard would be more. They were talking about just the bricks themselves. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, it says, Mistaber Hein Vesidon. It's logical to say when the Mishnah was talking about the dimensions, it was talking about how big the bricks are with their cement. Because the Yisrael G'day Dechein B'lei Sidon, because if you're entertained to say it's without the plaster, then listen to Lishira, but why wouldn't you say the actual measurements, which technically, pragmatically speaking, practically, is what you're going to have to give up from your area? Rather, you must say that it was talking about not just the bricks themselves, but them together with their plaster. So Zigmar, no. That the Mishnah was talking about them without their plaster. But since it wasn't at least one of the smallest measurements, which is a tefach, so therefore didn't mention it. But yes, technically speaking, it's going to have to take up a little bit more room than what it mentions, because that's just talking about the bricks themselves. There has to be a layer of plaster that's going to take up a little bit more room too. Now, that the Gemara asks, what, because it wasn't a tefach, it wasn't mentioned, even though you said technically it should say it? But v'kutani b'levana, but we learned regarding the dimensions of the bricks, that we said, zen noisen tefach u'mechza, that this partner, he gives a tefach and a half, v'zen noisen tefach u'mechza, and he gives a tefach and a half of his part. So obviously you see that we do consider significant, and we mention the half a tefach. So why don't we mention then the dimensions of the plaster if you're saying that that is also going to have to be added on? Says the Gemara, no, hasam chazal it's terufe. There, although it's a half a tevach, but it's fit to be combined because we're saying each one is giving a half a tevach, which in combination of the two partners is going to be a tevach. So therefore we mention it. But the plaster over here, where even the combination is not going to be even a tevach, therefore we didn't mention it, but could be you would have to add on the measurement of the sid besides the measurements that's mentioned in our Mishnah. So the Mishnah Tashma is trying to bring a different raya from Mishnah Masechtas Erevin. The Mishnah says, "Hakayrish Amru," regarding the beam that they said regarding making a mavoi, which is some type of a dead end, into a kosher area where you can carry, where besides the halach of shitufim mavois, which you have to have shared the food between all the partners, you also have to have a siman, a hecker, a reminder that this is a distinct area from the Rosh Hashanah, that people don't carry into the Rosh Hashanah. You have that by the entryway of this alleyway, you have a beam going from one side of the entryway to the other side of the entryway. So it says the Mishnah Masechta Zeirvin regarding this beam that they said has to be rechava kedei lekabel ariach, has to be wide enough that it could carry on it a half a brick. Now, v'hariach, and how what's the dimensions of the brick? It's a chatzi levenish lekabel tefachim, it's half of a brick that's 3 tefachim wide. Now, so obviously, says the Gemara, that you see that when our Mishnah said regarding bricks, that each one gives a tefach and a half, obviously it's without the plaster. Because here, in that Mishnah in Erevin, it's just describing the dimension of the brick itself. It's saying that a levenis, 3 tefachim, it's not talking about in a wall where you put plaster, it's saying a levenis, 3 tefachim, half of that is an ariach, which is a tefach and a half. So you see that the dimensions of our Mishnah are talking about without their plaster, and actually with the plaster would have to be a little bit more. So the Gemara, no. Hasam b'rav revasa. There that Mishnah was saying that the Levena was 3 tefachim, and you're right, that's without its plaster. That's talking about by large bricks. There it's going to be 3 tefachim. But our Mishnah is talking about smaller bricks, where only with the plaster, I could say, it's going to be 3 tefachim. And actually says the Gemara, Dekinami. Actually, precise reading of that Mishnah seems to indicate, as we're saying, because Diktani, it says that the Ariach is half of a Levena, Shel Shlash Leit Tefachim, that is of 3 Tefachim. Now, mechlal, by the fact that it's qualifying what type of a brick it is, it's the brick of three tvachim, is the ikar zutra. But there are smaller bricks that are not three tvachim, that only with its plaster is going to be three tvachim. No, we could infer, so actually to the contrary, that our Mishnah is talking about with the plaster, that's going to be three tvachim, and all of them is with the plaster. There, where it was talking about it's three tvachim without the plaster, was talking about a larger type of brick. Nothing more continues with a discussion that's going to come back to what we had mentioned before regarding the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash, which was related to the discussion we had with the Avnei Gazis. So on that, the Gemara goes into a discussion that's going to talk about the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rav Chisda, Loy Lister Inish Beit Knesset, the person is not allowed to demolish a shul, a Beis HaKnesses, Ad the Bani Beit Knesset Achrita, until a new one is already built. When the new one is built, then you can demolish the old one. Now, Ikadamri, those who say the reason for this Allah is Mishum Pshiyus, because of negligence, because maybe that something is going to come up and due to the negligence, they're never going to build a new one, and now the old one's not going to be in there anymore because they already demolished it. So because of the negligence, you have to first have the new one built, and only then you can demolish the old one. Ikadamri, those say, no, even if not because of negligence, Mishum Tziluye, because during the whole entire time that they're building the new shul, where are they going to daven? So up until you have the new one built, you got to keep the old one so that they have a place where to daven. Now, my benai, what's the difference between these two interpretations? Ikka benayu de'ikka be'kinishta achriti. The difference between them is if there is another shul, which the other girsayis say that it's supposed to say that duchte litzluye, that there is a place for them to pray. So, although there's a place for them to pray, so according to the second interpretation, it wouldn't be a problem about destroying the old shul. But according to the first interpretation of negligence, then there would be a problem because although they have the place to pray, but maybe they may never build a new shul and you need to have a shul. Therefore, you wouldn't go ahead and destroy the old one, even if you have a place to pray, until you build a new one. Now the Gemara brings that regarding this halacha that Meremer Umazutra, they had two shuls. They had a winter shul and a summer shul. The winter shul was lower down with thicker walls, fewer windows because of the cold, to keep the cold out. In the summer, that a larger shul with more airy to let the fresh air in. So what they did was, Sasri Ubanu Bekaita Bisisvasa, what they did was that they demolished and rebuilt the summer one during the winter, Ubanu Bisisva Bekaita, and they rebuilt the winter one in the summertime. So in other words, they didn't run into the problems of having where to daven and that the negligence, because they had another shul over there. And moreover, that they didn't use that one during that season, so that's when they would destroy and rebuild that one at those off seasons. Now, continuing on these halachas, Amalei Ravina Ravashi says, what would be the halacha if Gavu Zuzi? Let's say they really collected the funds necessary to build a new Beis HaKnesses. Umachsi, and the money is already placed in the hand of the treasurer. Mai, what's halacha? Would we still be concerned for the negligence of not building a new shul or not? Hey, we already have the funds. We could destroy the old shul even though we didn't build a new shul. So Amalei said to him, Delmi Misramil hu pidin shvuyim. But there might be a problem that might happen. There might be a situation of redeeming captives. Behavalu, and they're going to give the money to redeem the captives, and they're never going to build a new shul, even though they had the funds already. So therefore, even then, you cannot destroy the old shul until you have a new shul. So the Gemara continues asking, let's say Shrigi Livni. Let's say the bricks are already piled up, ready to go and be built. Vahadri Hudri, and you already have the planks that are already smoothed out and prepared to be used for the roof. Umachtik Shuri, and you have the beams that are placed there already. Mai, what would be the halacha over there? Not only money, they have all the tools, they have everything there already. So Amalei said to him, still, Zimnin de Mesramelu Pin Yeshuam, sometimes it might come up that they're going to have to redeem captives. Mezavnin Bihavalu, and they're going to sell all those planks and all those beams to be able to get money to redeem the captive. And therefore, you're not allowed to go ahead and destroy the old shul because you might never build a new shul. So that the Gemara says, but if that's the case, then even if they already built a new shul, you still should not be allowed to destroy the old shul, because maybe they're going to have an incident of redeeming captives, and they're going to sell the new shul, and then they're not going to have any shul. So you should never be allowed to destroy the old shul, even when you already built a new shul. And that Amalei, that he responded to me, says, no. The Rasi de Inchi Le Mezavni, a person's abode, a person's home, a person's place of residence, he doesn't sell. So once the shul is built already, they're not selling it even to redeem captives. But if it wasn't built yet, they'll go and sell the stuff, the items which are there to build, that they'll sell, and therefore you can't not destroy the old shul until you have a new shul built. Now, the Gemara qualifies this halacha of Chizda. But we didn't say that you're not allowed to destroy the old shul if unless you built a new shul already. Only if you didn't see any cracks in the walls of the shul that it might collapse. Abkhazi, but to you, but if you saw that there's some cracks, that's dangerous, then Sasri Bani, then you could destroy it and rebuild it. As the Gemara says, Kihad Ravashi, like by Ravashi, Chazbi to you, Bechnish de Masa Machas, that he saw that there was cracks, it was dangerous building in the Shul of Masa Machas. Yeah? So Sasri, he had it demolished. Now, Va'ayla Puri Lahasim, he brought his bed into the dilapidated, destroyed Shul, so that people shouldn't give up of rebuilding the Shul, because he's going to have to suffer the elements of the sun and the rain that's going to hurt him, and no one's going to want Ravashi, the great rabbi, to suffer. And Balei Afke, he didn't remove his bed. Ademaskin leishvicha, until they had already fixed even the gutters, they had totally finished the job of rebuilding the shul, because really you're usually not allowed to do it, it's just because it was going to collapse. So he did it, but he wanted to make sure people don't give up on rebuilding it, and therefore he moved his bed in the meantime. Now, based on this halacha, which brings us back to our discussion of the Beis HaMikdash, asks the Gemara, Ubava ben Buta, which was a great Talmudic sage, Hecha azvi le'etz lehurdis, how did he give counsel to Hurdis, who is the king of the land of Eretz Yisrael, for a period in time, le'mistrei le'beis HaMikdash, to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, which, as the Gemara will later on tell us the story, and as Rashi says, it's written in Sefer Josephus and Yosefin Ben Gurion, in one of the Jewish history books. How could he have given them counsel to destroy the Beis HaMikdash when the new Beis HaMikdash wasn't there yet to have the old one destroyed? But V'amar Rav Chizra said, Lo lister inish be'kanish, the person not let destroy a house of gathering for service to Hashem, ad the bana be'kanish ta'achrita, and then you already had the new one built, then you could destroy the old one. So how could he have given an idea to destroy the old one, to rebuild it even nicer? Says the Gemara, Ibaisim, if you want, you could say to you a chazabe. Bava Mbuta saw that there were cracks, it was a dangerous building, that's why it had to be destroyed and rebuilt better. Ibaisim, or if you want, you could say that Malchus Hashani, royalty, a king, is different. The Lohajabe, he does not back down, he does not retract. And therefore, since he had his word, he could destroy even if the new one's not up yet. Dama Shmuel, like Shmuel said, Iyama Malchusa, Akar Naturi, if the king says that he's going to tear out the mountain, Akaturi Lohajabe, he'll rip up the mountain and he won't back out. The royal edict does not back out, and therefore he could have him destroyed even though a new one wasn't built yet. Now the Gemara illustrates what this story was. It starts from the beginning. Hordis Abdi de Beis Chashmonoi Hava. Hordis was a slave in the house of the Chashmonoim, who at one point in time, they, with the Hanukkah story with the Chashmonoim, they became the kings of the Jewish people. They had the royalty. Now, Nasan Eina Ba'isa Tanaikis. This slave, Hordis, had placed his eyes on a certain girl there in that Hashmonim family. Now, Yemechad Shama, one day he heard, which Hahu Gavra is taken out by other Girsais, meaning he heard, a Baskala de Amar, a heavenly voice that rang out and said, Kal Avde de Marit Hashta Matzlach, any slave that rebels right now will be successful. So come, Katlinu Lukola Marvase. So Hordis got up and he killed all his masters. He killed the whole base Chashmonam, who were the royalty, the kings of the Jewish people at that time. Veshire Lahin Yunuks, and he left that little girl that he had put his eyes on that he wanted. Now, Kichazis Ahia Nuksa, the Kaboy Lemitzvah, when that little girl who was left over saw that Hordis, the slave, wanted to marry her, thus taking over the Chashmonam dynasty by marrying his master, this little girl, Slikali Igra Veramakala. She went up to the roof and she raised her voice, and Amr she said, Kalmanda Asiva Amr Mibes Chashmonoi Kasina. If anyone ever comes and says that they're from the household of the Chashmonam, Avduhu must be that the person is a slave. Because the only one that's left is that girl, meaning a reference to herself. And that girl fell from the roof to the ground. And that's what she did. She jumped and she killed herself. And obviously the only one that's left is this slave Hordis. He claims it's from the Chashmonam. Anyone that's claiming that they're from him is an Evet. Now, Tomna Shvashnin Bedufsha. So Hordis went and he concealed her body for 7 years and preserved it in honey. Ikeda Amri Bola, now those who say that he cohabited with her. Ikeda Amri Loi Bola, now those who say that he did not cohabit with her dead body. Now the Gemara explains the Amri La Bola, those who say that he had relations with her. Haditamna Li Subali Yitzri, this that he had preserved her body was to satisfy his desire for her. Or the Amri La Loi Bola, and those who say that he did not have relations with her. Haditamna, this that he preserved her body was Kehecha Dinamru Bas Melch Nasav, that people should say that he married the daughter of the king, meaning that she's still around, that you could see her as almost as she's alive. There's a way of preserving a person to say, oh, the queen, and this is her husband, this is Hordis, that he married into royalty. Now, Omar, Hordis said to himself, Man Darish, who expounded this pasuk in the Torah? Mikerev achicha tasim alecha melech, that from amongst the midst of your brothers you should place upon yourself a king, which says it has to be mifchar achicha, from the prime of your brothers, which excludes a slave like himself from becoming a king. They were the Rabbanan. These are the rabbis that they interpret the written law. They're the ones who have the authority in the oral law. They're the ones who are saying that I cannot be king. So come katlinu l'kol rabban. So he got up and he killed out all the rabbis. Now, Shavki le'bava ben buta, but he left over one Talmudic sage, bava ben buta, le'mishkal eitzim, and he said that he could take counsel from him. But as we continue on top of Dalam and Aleph, ahadu le'klila de yoli. He made from a crown of yoli, which is from this animal called hanaka, which is a type of an animal that has very pointy and sharp, harsh hairs like needles, which is a porcupine, and he made for him a crown from the skin of this porcupine around his eyes and the crinula, and he poked out his eyes by making this crown with the points of the porcupine poking in his eyes. That was the crown that he made for him. So although he kept him alive, but he kept him in check, that even this one rabbi that he left was subservient to his needs.